K-Mud Podcast presents.
K-Mud Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your host Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarasota. We're excited.
What are you planting this year?
Well, it's always it's a fun time of the year, but it's also kind of a stressful time of the year, you know?
Yeah. It's time you got to make a lot of important decisions need to be made right now.
Important decisions. So I'm going to be doing granny candy. I'm going to be doing orange cream pop.
And I'm so we talked about this last week. Nothing's changed. Same menu.
Nothing's changed. I'm going to do infused olive oil. I have an olive orchard.
Oh, that's going to be some really nice medicine right there.
Right. And I had thought that I'd grow some CBD to make the oil, but I decided I'd put something else in instead and just buy the oil from one of our local processors. So I think it'll work out okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd have to pay for the processing anyway.
Well, if you found someone to like press it into rosin, press some hash into rosin.
Yeah.
Even if you just like dry sift it, even like not even that much, really, especially if you're just making it for personal.
No, I don't need that much.
Yeah, exactly. A couple grams, you can just like dry sift that out. And then if you press it into rosin, your potency will go up quite a good amount, but you'll get really, really nice flavor and it will infuse really well into the olive oil pretty easily.
Well, that's a really good idea, you know.
It'd be tasty.
Well, I like the idea of having it all on the farm, growing it all on the farm.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
If I can. But.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're just, I'm feeling pretty optimistic. I'm hoping we can get our guest on here.
We're actually, the phone is going straight to voicemail.
Okay.
And I tried to send a text from my phone, so hopefully we get them.
Yeah. Maybe something came up and we'll be hearing soon.
Oh, I hope so.
But I know they're very excited to be on the radio. So if something happened and they can't make it, wow, they're definitely going to be wanting
to get on
here right away.
We'll
like
get them
soon
on
as,
another
yeah,
time.
For the, sure.
I visited their website and the Instagram page. And everybody, you should go there and take a look. You know, what was that? It was Blacklist.
XYZ. Great conversations. And
yeah, they look pretty outspoken.
Mm-hmm. Good promotion for Sun Grown. Good promotion for what we do up here in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. Yeah, so, you know, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about prices in the year ahead. You know, it's hard to say, like, okay, where's the bottom at? And I feel like this year's the bottom.
I tend to agree with you. Like right now, I'm selling my bulk for $200. I'm really happy if I sell it at $250. And either one of those are a ridiculous amount of money. It's not enough to cover costs.
It's really crazy. It's really too bad this is happening to us because, like, if you ask people about, like, oh, what are prices on the East Coast or what's going on, it's like they're significantly higher than what our bulk is selling for. But what's interesting, too, is that, like, you know, your little B-grade and your B-grade and your kind of funky stuff, that's staying pretty low in price. And that's probably always going to stay like that at that low price. But the margin's getting bigger for the high grade. It's becoming more I think that price is what's going to go up and that's going to stay up.
Well, I hope so.
Because there's just more awareness. And as more and more people start smoking, it's like, you know, it's like wine. Like once you try a better wine, it's kind of hard to go back. You know, it's hard to go back. You're like, damn, this is such a good – you just don't want to go back, you know? So it's like
– yeah, I know. It's like – coffee is the same way, you know? And somehow it hasn't quite caught on the way – we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah. So if we get more –
I'd like it with cannabis.
Yeah, if more people are smoking, then I think we're going to be – whereas more people try things, that they're going to be like not – and then also it's just – it has been a bit of a disappointment at the retail dispensary side of things. Like, our people that buy our herb, they may not necessarily know that we exist on the shelf. They may not necessarily like the dispensary experience. It might just be a little bit harder. And especially if they're a daily smoker of our fine, good herb. Like, the dispensary doesn't really have a lot of options for a daily smoker.
No.
Like, I think maybe even here in town at Clarkie's, you might be able to get, like, might be able to get some of your better daily smoke. But it's generally, I think it's kind of hard to find on the shelf, generally speaking.
Well, I just had a friend of mine, actually only a couple hours ago. He says, Steve, why should I go to a dispensary? I can buy a pound for $200.
Oh, geez.
I mean, that's the reality.
Right, but I mean, what are they going to do with a smoke in a pound? But yeah, I mean, I'm sure, yeah, that would probably last them all year. They might want some variety. But then that just goes back to, like, the daily smoker is – they are on the ounce program. You know, might be smoking an ounce, you know, anywhere from an ounce to 2 ounces a month. Some people are even doing a quarter pound.
Well, then you see how a pound can go pretty quick. And people want a good product, but they want a product that doesn't cost much.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of people put the emphasis on the money part. You know, was I got it cheap.
Yeah, I mean, we might be seeing an uptick in the black market. We might be seeing that kind of just gain a little bit more traction. I'm kind of like visualizing the 1990s again, which is like where like quality herb in the 90s was so incredibly valuable. Like really.
Right.
It was really hard to find quality because at that point we were just like jammed into the shade so much. It was just really hard back. You were there, you remember.
Yep.
So, you know, but that's when we had VIP status too. So get that VIP status back.
That's what we need and have people aware of it, you know. And just to speak up for Humboldt, you know, is that's who I want to support. You know, I don't want to see dispensaries suffer, but I don't really care. You know, if they're not satisfying the needs of my neighbors and helping then
yeah, there is a little bit of that, but there's also there are definitely dispensaries out there that like are trying for sure, but like. And they do a lot of education, and where buyers take that education is another thing. So, it's just all the red tape. All the red tape is, it's a lot. And
well, it's true that in dispensaries are really under it. I mean, farmers too. But
and it's just the energy. It's the energy exchange. Because money is an energy exchange, and the energy exchange that's happening with the regulations on top of it, it's kind of leaving a bad taste in everybody's mouth, like the consumer to the producer to the dispensary owner. It's kind of like, you know, that energy is like, it's not really that good. It's
no,
not
it
a
isn't.
Good energy, unfortunately.
I'm glad
yeah,
you're talking about it just that way. Because we've spoken to that on the show. I think vibe has an impact on the quality of the weed, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll excuse it and say, oh, well, that's a hippie sentiment.
But, it's not.
But it's not.
Not at all.
It's not. And
there's a
lot of people out there, smokers, but growers, who know that if they have that sort of positive the plant wins attitude.
You know, and like there's that rebel in people. some people have that identity of being a rebel. And even if they are a consumer and a, you know, they're like, oh, if I go to a dispensary and buy it, it's nice because there's no risk. But I kind of am a rebel. And there's what's the rebel in me going to be when I'm just like going into a dispensary? It's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
Not the same
now,
experience.
I do believe that dispensaries have a legitimate purpose for people who find it difficult to get pot.
Exactly. And they're not like a rebel type either.
And they're not, you know, yeah, they're not a rebel type either.
They need that dispensary. And they need the education too.
Mm-hmm. So we've spoken about education here on the show many times. It seems to be a conundrum. It's how do we get that educational element out? If dispensaries really just care about selling.
Well, the problem is that, like, you know, like I've said before, is that, like, craft doesn't necessarily sell itself, right? So when you get into these bigger brands, they can kind of sell themselves because everyone's heard of that brand. Oh, okay, yeah. So that means that if you're a bud tender, it's just an easier sell if you don't have to talk about it.
Right.
So, you know, they don't always necessarily have the most passionate people who want to build volume on sales and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So they're just like looking at their spreadsheet, whatever sold last week, they're selling. You know, they're not really thinking about what's going to sell the next week. They're just looking at what sold last week. So they're just looking at the past and maybe not necessarily thinking about the future.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, like, you really do, like craft, you really do need someone who's passionate about craft and someone who really wants to tell that story. And it's a technical story because you need to know the farmer. You need to know, be educated about how that farmer mm-hmm. operates, some of the technical aspects of their farm, which is like the location, the community, the people around it, the type of cultivation. Something about their backstory, perhaps. And so there's that part. And then, so there's like the technical, and then there's these cultural pieces too about like the values that are behind that brand, things of that nature, and how you pair those values with your customer and the brand, and, you know, that story. And then of course, you know, if you've smoked it and you're familiar, your ability to talk about what makes that herb good and what makes it, you know, why that person might be interested in trying it. And so it's hard because you have two types of consumers. You have one that's very sparked by curiosity, and you have another one who's, I keep trying this and I'm trying that, but I just need to find something. So they're trying things. They just need to try something. And so, you know, like people like that, it's like, well, you know, you may have to try it a lot. For me personally, especially when I was younger, maybe not so much now, but, you know, when I was younger, maybe I didn't have as much experience smoking. You could maybe need to smoke something for like even 2 weeks or 2 months, just smoke that same strain over and over again before you really start to resonate with it and be like, sure, okay, I can like feel, hey, this is what I like. And then once you start liking it, then you don't want to try something different. You're like, oh, I really like that effect.
Right.
So there's kind of two different types, and you got to, you know, if you're a bud tender, you got to be able to read that, and if you're good, you can pick it up intuitively quickly and know, okay, mm-hmm. I got this kind of person here. I need to spark their curiosity on something, and then somebody else, I just need to like find something for them that they like.
Well, you know, part of the problem too, as we've discussed before, is there's kind of like a 1-2 punch we're getting. You know, because if the long sought after being able to sell on your own farm was breached,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, then I think that would make a huge difference to the education of the public. And
oh, immensely.
Everybody who I've ever seen, literally, who've come to my farm. And my farm's not special. It's just a Humboldt farm.
And then what? They can only sell an ounce. You can only sell them an ounce at the most. And like, you know, if they want to come there and get their head stashed for the next year, You know, why wouldn't they?
And why wouldn't they? You know, and when people come there, their mouths fall open, mm-hmm. you know, because everything around here in Humboldt is beautiful. It's, you know, the forest, you don't have to even be an environmentalist. It's inspiring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's really too bad, too, because when you look at how the regulations have played out. So what that means is like even though there were some good intentions in Prop 64, and even though there were some good intentions with our initiatives here in Humboldt County, it's like from working on the initiative process and working a little bit, you know, following the state and talking about regulations, it's one thing to write those, and then it's a whole different thing to implement them.
Yes. I agree there.
Yeah. So that's just one thing in between the actual implementation, even with good intentions, when it comes to implementing it, it can be very, very different. But over-regulation historically has helped the biggest players. And California has a tendency to overregulate on top of any kind of conspiracy to overregulate.
If it quacks like a duck.
I know. And now we're we're wondering what's going to happen at the federal side. Something I want to talk to Blacklist about, but it's definitely something we need to be talking about here and what it might look like. I mean,
Well,
it's hard to interpret the actions of the federal government right now. I mean, I'm sort of just like trying to be a little bit open. I don't want to like be judgmental and have assumptions because this administration, you know, because I don't want to be surprised later. You know, I want to be like open, so I'm a little less surprised. And I just want to try and really observe as much as I can. What am I observing? What am I seeing? We're going to have like what, black market goods from China, from Mexico, from Canada. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to jump in here, remind our listeners that they've got Akima Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your host Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarah Seda. And we're hoping that Blacklist gets in here and to talk with us. But we're going to open up the phones to callers right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we'd love to hear from you. And you can reach us here at 923-3911. Now, Javi will get you in the studio. It's 707-923-3911. Give us a call.
Yeah, yeah. So I could see, like, the underground market gaining more traction and taking off again. So, you know, between like choosing between, you know, renovating your greenhouse or renovating your greenhouse for chickens and herb for eggs.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows? We might be able to like start, you know, the whole barter culture and just things taking off and diversifying. Hey, we have a caller.
Okay.
Welcome.
Welcome. You're in the studio.
Hey, this is Shane. I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Just listening to you, it makes a lot of sense, all the stuff you guys are talking about as far as, like, the administration, how things are going. You know, people need to keep their heads up. Things always change, and it'll get better. But I will say this. Have you guys ever – you had a guy on there who thought about – possibly opening up a place down in Southern California, this whole idea of now being able to come to a place to smoke and consume Amsterdam style.
Yeah.
Has any of the farms ever thought, or yourselves or anybody, I don't know if this has ever been brought up, but, you know, having like maybe 10 or 3 or 4 places throughout California, different locations, where there is a consumption cafe style that is only from the farms in Humboldt, Mendocino, Trinity County. So if you want the best of the best, you have to go to that cafe. I've been to Amsterdam when I was a kid. I was 11 years old. There was no smoking then. But, you know, if there was some sort of, you know, place that people could go, oh, I can go to this place in L.A., Santa Barbara, the Bay Area, even Humboldt, where I get the best of the best top-shelf stuff of all kinds, edibles, flour, dabs, whatever. It's a consumption, you know, consumable place, but maybe you also have food and other things there too. But it would be the place where you could only get these top farms, these 20, almost like you would at a bar or at a coffee shop. So that's my question there. Can we work, can farms, is maybe HGCA, somebody that could organize the farms to come together and say, yes, we have, you know, retail spaces in these three, four cities throughout California to showcase, just like you would at the Hall of Flowers, but it's a place people could walk in and have either consume on the property or not. Maybe it's just a place to come to get it. But then those retailers, like you just said, aren't just pointing out the Stizzies of the world and the cookies and all of the top brands. They're like, oh, we've got, you know, Ridgeline Farms. We have this farm. We have that farm, you know, and it's just showcasing the best. It's a rotating menu, and it's, you know, consumable or not. But that's my question.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think, honestly, that it would fly. But I haven't heard of anybody trying to make that a reality.
You mean like, yeah, there is. There's
We're brand new.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the urban market up in Arcata, but that's in Arcata, that's in our county. But outside of the county, we are like looking at some other places outside the county. Of course,
right.
Yeah,
and
there's
– that would push the brand.
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt, but that would push the brand to locations where they all know about, you know, Glass House and all that. But I've been in Santa Barbara, lived there for many, many years, and you know, I walked in a dispensary and they're just pushing Glass House and they're not, I had to ask for it. Mm-hmm. I had to ask, hey, I would love Humboldt. I would love Mendocino, but they're not the dispensaries. You know, they're just not selling it. They're not pushing NorCal brands.
Yeah. That's
I think a marketing flaw from somebody who's ever doing marketing, you know, in NorCal.
Yeah. I mean, there's also just like, there's distribution issues. There's so like what happens is that if a store has, if 40% of their product comes from like one distributor, say, and then that distributor is like giving them all these free samples and things like that, there's like all these incentives that these corporate people will pull on these retailers to the point where they're like almost, it's almost like handing them thousands of dollars of free money, really, in product, like it can get. And then how are we supposed to compete with this kind of a thing? And then there's like buying shelf space, and it's very cutthroat. And
so maybe there you go. Having your own store, like the one in Arcata you mentioned, that are having three or four of those in the Bay Area, Southern California, population areas.
Yeah, there's Soulful.
It's only
in
Sebastopol, the farms of Humboldt, Mendocino, you know, Northern California.
Yeah, take a look at Soulful. They've got a bit of a franchise going on. They're like in Sebastopol, San Francisco, Santa Rosa.
Yeah, I think they're
probably growing a little bit, but
sure.
Yeah, it is a challenge, and it's very, very disappointing from this idea of, you know, the conspiracy that we want to talk about happening with regulations and corporate people wanting to just stamp, you know, just stomp us out of existence. Like,
sure.
You know, we've got a lot of pressure.
Sure.
A lot of people don't want to see us succeed. There's a lot of that going on.
And they put all the red tape and all the taxes on you guys, and it's just awful because the big companies, they can afford it.
Yeah.
And the
exactly.
Small companies, all the small farms need to get together and either do it in a marketing way to beat them out or stand up in Sacramento and say that enough is enough, because obviously they're not hearing it. So you either beat them through money or you beat them through legislation. And if it's not working in Sacramento, then you guys have got to come together, and either HGCA or whomever this is that puts it all together, the counties, forget about it. They're not doing their job. Board of Supervisors, they're a bunch of losers. They're not doing their jobs either.
Well,
get a marketing group of Mendocino, Humboldt, Trinity, and start, you know, either retail spots where they just showcase. Everyone knows it's the best. Everybody, hands down, everyone knows. So why not have a place that just showcases those farms, those dabs, those edibles, and people will know, because I know people over here. They go to the Hall of Flowers. They go to the Emerald Cup, and they hear about all these winners. Mm-hmm. And they're all from your area, but why aren't the winners being bought? That's the question. You said they're giving away for free. So the only way to beat them is through marketing and your own area where people can come to. Like, if someone goes to Amsterdam, they're going to go to Glass Greenhouse, and they're going to say, oh, this is great. But I'm just saying, I think this is an idea where farms could get together, have several retail spots where you could just walk in and get those top shelf items.
There's that, and then there's also doing, like, you know, some kind of a delivery service or some kind of a box subscription kind of a thing.
That's maybe even better.
Yeah.
Having a delivery place throughout California where it's only the Humboldt, Mendocino, Trinity farms.
You know, yeah, like my demographic is, you know, my demographic is someone who works from their home. Burn a lot of weed.
Right.
Work from their home, you know.
That's sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But I just think, a smokable place and a place people could go into and experience the best of the best, then they're going to leave with that. They're going to come back. And they're going to order delivery and the rest of it. But if there's a spot where people could come to and, you know, experience either in person or buy it and take it home, you know, that kind of thing, and then that would promote, is my point, these farms. Because obviously Sacramento doesn't care. They just care about the money coming from Glass House and the rest of them.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly.
The only way to beat them is either marketing. And I got my degree at Cal Poly Humboldt, proud alumni right here. And I'll just tell you that this only way to do that, or Sacramento says, you know what, let's get rid of all the small farm regulations, at least a lot of them, and, you know, the taxes need to be lower, and it needs to be fair, a fair playing field.
Yeah.
You don't have this in the wine industry. You don't have this in the, you know, other agriculture.
No, so, but we do have a dominant paradigm in California for how regulations are created, and it's crushing all businesses. It's not just ours. It's just ours is a little bit harder.
And why do you think they're all leaving? They're coming over here. They're coming to New York. All these growers are coming over to Michigan and all the other places, and businesses, like you just said, because they are terrible at running that state. I hate to say it, but it's just awful. How do you even buy a home over there? Get money to get together to buy a home and everything. Is
if you ever,
expensive. It's just awfully run. You're
yeah,
awfully
you know. Well, it's funny because if you do like international travel, you can always pick out the Californians because they're like staring at the menu and they're totally indecisive. They're like, I don't know, maybe I want this off the menu, maybe I want that. And it's just anyway. But anyway, let's yeah. We got another
right.
caller.
Okay.
Right on. Here's thanks for your call.
Hey, thanks for talking with us.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, thanks.
You too.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support People Powered Radio at kmud.org.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, so I'm trying. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the conversation tonight. And, you know, just listening to everybody and your last caller especially, it really seems like you guys definitely have the answer, right? But nobody's really saying what I believe is to be true.
And, all right, let's
and
hear
really,
it.
I guess we could use Steve as an example.
Okay.
You know, if Steve continues to grow every year after year after year and he sees the price continue to fall, but yet he already told you earlier on the show that he's going to grow some of those same strains that he knows he's going to get $200 a pound for. And now he's directly competing with the glass houses of the world, right? That say the same thing on the jar as what we have. We have the best now is really hard, but growing those strains that have a story that we all grew up with here in the Emerald Triangle are what is unique to the world, that it has a limited supply. And so we have to get rid of that mentality of trying to compete with all these corporate cannabis strains and really embrace our legacy genetics. And then we just pivot to marketing and branding those and telling the story about those. But if we continue to grow commercialized strains and try to compete with corporate cannabis, we're really
Please tell our listeners who we're talking to, because you are a living example of this.
Yeah, sorry. This is Johnny Casale with Huckleberry Hill Farms. And, we pivoted a few years ago to trying to highlight, strains I used to grow with my mom 40 years mm-hmm. ago. And it wasn't easy, right? Nobody mm-hmm. knows those mm-hmm. strains. That's going to be Steve's answer, I would assume. Like, well, we can't grow it. We want the newest, the best thing. But, after several years of really directly relating and communicating with the consumers and them getting the chance to try strains like Mom's Weed or Ridgeline Rose or Lance or like Whitethorn Valley has several strains over there.
Even my Loopy Fruit too. Like I've been, it can take 3 years for, you want to give yourself 3 years for a strain to really gain traction. You got to persevere and you got to stick with it. It's not just a one-hit wonder.
Let's ask Steve. Steve has that commercialized mentality. Why are you continuing to grow those commercialized strains that you already know is going to set your fate?
Well, I think that your point in all of this is really well taken. And by focusing on the genetics that farmers grow up here, it does set us apart. Now, part of my reason, right, is before I could get my own strain running, several years ago I had a couple, but I have to create it. And to tell the truth, I'm in the process of doing that, but I'm not there yet. So at that point, instead of playing to the big players and looking at what they're growing, I'm thinking about what my farm produces in quality, right? So, for example, Orange Cream Pop. I can produce really nice Orange Cream Pop. And so it makes sense to me to go ahead and do that. The same thing with Granny Candy. For many years, I grew Cookie. In fact, I really loved it.
Not everyone is like, maybe has our disposition for like making our own cross or making our own strain. So that's just part of it too, is, well, this may work for us and it might not necessarily work for everybody.
The problem with what I think Steve is saying is it's really hard to convince people now that are purchasing that product that, it is the best, right? People are growing amazing cannabis throughout California. For me to try to convince a buyer that I grow the best and it's that much better than anybody else in California, therefore you should pay X amount more, is really a lot harder value mm-hmm. or a lot harder challenge than me saying, hey, look, I grow Loopy Fruits. Nobody else in the world grows this strain. I would love you to try it and see how it makes you feel, and then there, tell your story, Sunshine, which is amazing and one of a kind. And that challenge is a lot easier, or has become easier, at least for my farm or Ridgeline Farms or Whitethorn Valley Farms, than saying I got the best.
And yeah.
Look, it's really going to get tough here. I don't I personally don't believe it's going to get any easier. And I think the Emerald Triangle small farmer has something so amazing, but we really have to believe in what we have. We all know somebody that has, you know, 30, 40-year-old strains that they would share, more than happy to share with people. But we all have to pivot. Just imagine us being able to say that these amazing farmers in Humboldt County have strains that nobody else in the world has. That's what's intriguing to people. Not, hey, I got the best Cushmints or Gushmints or whatever. That's never going to fly.
Another
compete with the glass houses of the world.
Another farmer, local farmer, recently I want to give a shout out to is up there, Soham Royal. I smoked something last weekend of his, like maybe a Chem Cross or something, but wow, that just hit so good. It was just really, and it had this great wasabi hit. It like just burned your nose just the right amount, and then the flavor, it took a little while to kick in, and by the time you recover from like this nose burn, then you're like licking your lips with this delicious flavor. But anyway, like just wonderful. I mean, he's got some good genetics up there, so like, and he's been working on those for a while.
That is to my point. He's another farmer out in Honeydew that's developing his own strains, that's doing an amazing thing. Even companies like Exotic Flavors, those guys are developing their own strains and growing their own things. They're doing an amazing job too. Look at those farms that are actually able to at least get rid of their product. None of us are still, don't mistake me, none of us are making it or making money. We're surviving trying to get to the next year, right?
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of farms, I believe, that might go out of business, unfortunately, this year because they continue to grow Gushmints, they can continue to grow ice cream cake, and that market is flooded.
Or
we have to really believe in supply and demand. And there's only so many people in the world that have Loopy Fruits. There's only so many people in the world that have a Lance. And we all have that ability to put the time and the energy into, you know, developing or acquiring some of those strains that nobody else has. And then it's just about sharing that with the world. Mm-hmm. Then we have something.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and I mean, even Glass House, they've poached from Northern California on some of their genetics. I'm pretty sure of it. They have some of their own genetics, their own in-house genetics. So, you know, we're still competing with that too.
Yeah,
it's just
for sure.
It's just different. It's not the same story. It's definitely not the same story.
If you're trying to be unique.
Oh, and preferred.
Your point is really well taken.
Preferred Gardens, they've got quite a bit too. They're doing some genetics. They're multi-state. They're down. They actually grow like some premium mixed light and some indoor. And,
yeah, that guy's a criminal at heart, though. He's a breeder too. Like, he's really one of us. But he's playing with the big boys. So
exactly.
Anyways, I'll let you guys take it from here. I just, you know, I always hear everybody like even getting your own dispensaries. It's that's a lot of money to really do that. It sounds amazing. But then, you know, you're still trying to highlight those genetics that nobody else has. Like, if they can go around the corner and pay a lot less for that same strain that was grown in Humboldt, that was grown in Southern California, they'll go to that other place where it's cheaper. So, anyways, I appreciate you guys, and keep up the good fight.
Right on, man. Hey, thanks. You too.
Thanks
you
for
too,
your call.
And have
thanks
a great spring.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm real glad that he called in and brought those things up. Because
he's
points are well taken, you know. But he did hit on the unknown strain problem. Is the buyer comes by and he says, "What's
well?"
This?
That's the bulk buyer. Once you're going to the once it goes, if you jar it in your own jars, it's a whole different story, and it's actually an easier sell to sell your unique strain once it's in your brand and in your jars. When you're talking to like a bulk buyer, they're disconnected from, you know, the end consumer to some degree. Yeah, even before legalization, even when things got pretty commercial there towards, you know, in the 2015 I was still having a heart. It was hard to sell your own genetics. But I kept persevering because I knew that in the end that it it would be worth it. And like I said, you got to stay persistent because it can take a few years. It's like a hit song, right? So like a recording artist might, they'll, by the time their song might become a hit, it might have taken 3 years to get there. Right. So you want to take a similar approach and you just want to stick with it. And once it gains, you'll feel when that traction starts to come, you'll feel it. Like, oh yeah, here it is. It's coming out. It's coming out. And then you're like, okay. And you're like, yes. And then it becomes easier and things are moving.
I like that plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in here and remind our listeners they have the Cannabis Show, K-Mud's The Cannabis Show. And if you'd like to make a comment, get involved in the conversation, we'd certainly love to hear from you. You can get us here at 923-3911. And Javi will get you in the studio. That's a 707-923-3911. Give us a call.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I really feel like what our caller was talking about.
I'd be happy. I could help you make your own strain. I'm pretty good at, like, you know, I'd find out what you like so you're motivated and into it. And then you know, you make a cross, you make something that, like, that you like, because then it's that much easier to sell, you know, because it's your
– because it's yours.
Something now, that you're into as well.
Just speaking for myself – I have a relatively small farm, right? So competing on the bulk level is really hard, and I'd rather not do it. So I also have a nursery license, and this year I do plan my own genetics.
Okay, great. Yeah,
whether
for sure.
Whether it's good or bad, that's something else. But you got to start somewhere.
Right. Like if you took that orange – that orange cream pop. This has probably already been done, but you could maybe get a better version, which is the orange cream pop with like some kind of a grape, and then that grape would kind of contrast that orange, and you'd still be in like the fruity profile, but now you're getting into like a nice, like a fruit punch flavors that just kind of pop.
Right.
So that could actually be kind of a good, you know, just thinking about it, right? Like, that's just the way my mind works. I'm like thinking about how to mix flavors, how to blend a flavor and put it together. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And there is that commitment from the time that you make the seeds to having to phenohunt, to having to, like I said, sometimes I might have to smoke that thing for a while. I may have to just show it to other people and get their opinion.
Right.
And not even necessarily trust my own. Like before I even like I'll kind of know, but I'm like, I need more feedback. I kind of want to like separate myself and see what it, well, get other people's perspectives on what I've created. And so
there's a level of fun developing your own stuff. And if you're lucky enough to get something that is good, there's a level of pride in the work you've done. And so I definitely think it's worth exploring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It takes a little bit to stick it out. And so like if you're pheno hunting, you invite some friends or a couple of your close friends that you know that you respect their opinion about things, and you invite them up to your farm and just have them, you know, walk with you through things and listen to their impressions and listen to what they have to say, because it's really valuable. And like, I mean, I consider myself pretty good at what I do, but I really do value other people's insight. It's really nice because then by the end of the day, you're like, man, I'm so glad I had someone said that, or, oh, wow, I have this whole new way to like talk about my creation. And so, yeah, it's definitely helpful.
Oh, I got somebody texting me right now. Tell Sunshine I'd love to taste her product.
Hey.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you.
Okay. he's saying it's a good show. I appreciate that. We are coming up to the top of the hour, so I wanted to share something from The Blacklist. I think that I may be reading a direct quote from their Instagram site. And these were some of the things we were hoping to discuss.
Well, I think we will, because I think we will get them live in the studio, because she was saying, she's like, I want to come live this week, but I'm not going to be able to make it. And I was like, that's cool. You can call in. We'll always have you back again, but maybe it's just going to be live in the studio next time.
Well, live is always, always good.
I know. It'd be fun.
Well, here are some of the point of view from Blacklist. Greed, I'm quoting, greed's grip on the cannabis community has led to exploitation of the plant and its cultivators. brought financial ruin, environmental harm, and the destruction of small businesses and families. Now, I believe that that's a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
The greed, though, is kind of a tricky thing to talk about. Because it's a lot often greed is a question, it's a subjective question.
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah.
They go on. It's time to refocus on compassion, sustainability, and ethical practices. And she's saying to reclaim our roots. And, you know, that compassion, sustainability, and ethical practices, whether it sells your pot or not, it's mm-hmm. worth pursuing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, we've seen the impacts of, I mean, yeah, we have, it's kind of because of greed we ended up where we are now. I mean, in a way, because if we just all stayed these little farmers, if we just all stayed small, we might not have. It was just everyone, it was that decade of doubling down that kind of brought us here. At some point, you have a call for government.
Well, I certainly fell in the greed category years ago, but I don't think very many of us can be called greedy.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like a status thing too, you know. So it's like just that whole thing of growing up, and if you're growing at all, you're greedy. If you're not growing more and you're only growing a small amount, then like you're not being, you know, it's like the small growers, like you're telling the big grower you're being greedy, and then the big grower's telling the small grower you're not being greedy enough, you know. So it's kind of like there's just, like you said, it's subjective. There's no real, you know.
Well, I do think that there's a quantity of unalloyed greed that you can see in the industry, okay? And
well, there is when you start looking at irresponsible behavior.
That's a big element.
Look at, you know, everyone's trying to survive. And when you have like people taking their mixed light licenses and blowing it up indoor, right? And they're licensed and regulated. And now we're having like brownouts and things are happening with our power grid. We're like, what's going on here? What's going on here? Like, that's like, you know, your impacts are too much.
That's right.
It's too much. If people are having blackouts because of like indoor grow ops that are even in the regulated markets, like, and you're not supposed to be doing indoor, you're not like, then like, yeah, that might be pushing it. And that might, for some, that will be like, well, I'm just trying to survive, or I'm not going to make it, and I'm going to go down, I'm not going to make it. But it's like, how much is that one person not going to make it impacting your neighbors with their power going out? It's like, is that really fair? Like, these kind of discussions, you know, these kind of need, you know, it's like, it's important. So they need to happen.
That's where greed really, like, and that's,
because I don't really want to call them greedy, but I want to be like, you're being irresponsible here.
Okay,
you need
to,
like,
I think being irresponsible
is greedy.
goes closer to the bone and is probably more accurate. You know, it's like,
because greed is looked up, it's, greed is admired in this country. It's like, if greed,
way.
God loves greed in America. Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy. We don't have a good moral compass on this one.
But it's not an excuse, okay? If you trash your creek because, gee, how was I going to make it?
Yeah.
It's like, that's just not an excuse.
That's not an excuse.
It's going to fly.
Exactly.
At least not for me.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of ways that you can do what you want to do without messing up the environment.
Or disturbing your neighbors.
You know, and then there's always a pushback. You know, the environmentalists want to push for more laws and regulations. Your neighbors get angry and come after you.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen these things already in the county. And we don't want that, basically.
No, we definitely don't. We definitely don't. It's important. We got to go back to our spiritual roots here. And remember ourselves as spiritual beings as we're going about our work, because
I really think so, you know, and
yeah,
that was,
I mean, it's not,
that was Johnny who called us.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I think, again, I want to go back to it. I think his point is well taken.
Absolutely.
I do believe that he was right when he says it's more of a challenge. But
well, in the short term.
Yeah.
You got to wait. You got to be persistent. Because now look. But I had a farmer 3 years ago, and she was like telling me her choices for things to grow. And there was like – she threw out Whitethorn Rose and she could get like some clones of it or something. And I was like straight up. I was like, you grow that. I was like, yeah, 100% grow that. Now is the time. Like even I could feel that traction gain 3 years ago. And I was like, you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, for sure. Like, go do that, you know. But like, so it does. It takes time, mm-hmm. and you got to be persistent and persevere, and you kind of got to give a lot away. You got to give it to people and let them try it. You need their feedback. You need to get their interest. You got to give a lot away. A lot of samples need to go out to the retailers.
That's also part of the humble way, if I can put it that
way.
You know, because instead of clutching your genetics close to your heart,
yeah,
right, and not letting it out. Well,
you got to get people talking about it.
You got to get people talking about it.
I mean, what? I'm like already about 10 years into loopy fruit and of growing that. So I got a few people talking about it. Oh, I think.
All right, let's get him in.
Last 5 minutes.
Hi, we're right at the top of the hour. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, I really appreciate getting back to the spiritual roots statement. And, yeah, I think people need to just get back under the sun.
Yep.
Just, you know, let's get back to nature, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's all I'm throwing out there. I know you guys are at the end of the show. So.
Yeah, we are. Hey, well, thanks for saying it, though, okay?
Right on.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Guy.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
And he's right. We are at the top of the hour, and you have been listening to KMUG Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your hosts, Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarah Seda. We plan on getting our guest on another time. That's Blacklist.
Yep. Hopefully here live in the studio. She's like missing. This is her place for coming for her spiritual roots. Well, is coming here to Northern California.
Definitely check her
ready.
Out on
she
Instagram.
She is ready for a visit.
And next week, we're going to have Dr. Sherry Yaffe, and we're going to be discussing cannabis and cancer. She's been doing work in this area at the university level and at the hospital level, so I'm hoping that she's going to have a lot to tell us. Anyway, tune in, listen in. Call in.
Yeah, have a good week, everyone. Plant some seeds. Go for it. Grow for it. Just grow ahead.
I love that. Grow ahead. Thank you all for listening. Bye now.
This has been a KMUG podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.